In the morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, how are you today? You're listening to St. Mark and Bemidji's podcast. Whether this is your first time or you haven't missed an episode in 4 years, thanks for joining us here today around the Word of God. This podcast is dedicated to spreading God's Word to anyone willing to listen. We will never tell you what you want to hear. We'll tell you what you need to hear. There are many podcasts out there that are flashier, better produced, or written by a large team of writers, but you will be hard-pressed to find the one in 4.1 million podcasts in circulation that knows the secret to eternal life. And spoiler alert, it's not a secret. It's just not very popular. Life is busy. Weekends are short. One of the ways I get to serve my local congregation is by live streaming the services. It's a fantastic perch to watch everything, and I very often see people vigorously nodding in agreement with the pastor during the sermon. Or more likely, they're falling asleep after the ushers dim the house lights. Do I blame them? Not in the slightest. Being at church is likely the first time they've sat down with nothing to do all week. The body is tired, but their souls are also in need of care. How does one overcome this? Well, I don't have a perfect solution, but consider this. In my hands here, I hold a bulletin. Almost all the churches use one. Even the ones that use their hymnal exclusively usually at least hand out the Bible readings for the day along with some announcements for the church. So right there in your hand, you have a tiny little snippet of God's Word. And there's a 99% chance one of those readings is what the sermon is based on. There's also probably one of those ridiculous golf score pencils somewhere in the pew, or maybe a pen at the friendship register. So take notes on the sermon. What did Pastor just say? Sarah gave her servant girl to Abraham? What did Jesus mean by, "This is my body, this is my blood"? It's hard to fall asleep when you're actively listening. And don't just throw those notes away. Go ask Pastor about them. It's a learning opportunity, too. Our sermon for today comes to us from Pastor Allard of Timothy Church. It's titled Vindication. It's based on Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, and it was the Easter sermon for their church service this year. May God bless our time together in the Word.
We now read just a section again of Mark chapter 16. We read, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So far the word. About this time, last year, the actress Gwyneth Paltrow, and also an optometrist by the name of Terry Sanderson went to trial over a ski crash that had happened 6 years prior. And Terry Sanderson said it was the actress's fault. And Gwyneth Paltrow, the actress, said, "No, it's the optometrist's fault. It's Terry's fault." And so the optometrist sued the actress, and she sued right back for defamation. And in the end, the jury decided in favor of the actress. And I'm not going to say it's always going to be the case, but that's what happened, in favor of the actress. And a headline read at that time, "Gwyneth Paltrow receives vindication for ski crash trial." Another example, about a year before that happened, an Illinois man was vindicated. He had been accused of, tried, and sent to jail for the murder of someone and had been in jail for nearly 30 years. Think on that just for a second, nearly 30 years. And you can guess the rest. They found out through DNA evidence that it was never him. He had never murdered anyone. And so when he got out, he said, "I am vindicated." No doubt. And I might have felt a few more things and said a few more things and just saying, "I'm vindicated." But that's what that guy went through. To be vindicated. It's kind of a good feeling, right? It's because you're cleared of guilt, where society, where people recognize that you did nothing wrong. And if today's theme is vindication, and it is, who needed to be vindicated? Jesus Christ. And today, that is what we are going to see. Nothing less than the vindication of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if only the disciples understood that all the way through. But what did they feel? What were they understanding? What were they thinking after Good Friday? To summarize, everything has gone wrong. You think of those amazing days that apostles, like Nathanael, right in the beginning when Jesus first found Nathanael and he saw him that miraculous way from a great distance, he saw Nathanael sitting under the fig tree. And Nathanael said, "You are the King of Israel," because he knew what had just happened. And Jesus said, "You will see greater things than that." And they did. Think of the things that Jesus showed them. People who had never been able to see. Now, for the first time, they could. People who had been cast out of society couldn't even hug their wife or their kids because they had leprosy, and Jesus heals them. And for the first time, they could walk through the streets of a city again with people around them and be with their family. And Jesus had done so much more. He had cast out demons. He had raised people from the dead. And he had taught a message that had put hope and purpose in the hearts of people. Nathanael and the rest of Jesus' disciples had seen all of these things. But the worst possible scenario happened. Jesus, dead. And nothing had happened. Nothing at all. The people who had crucified Jesus, the Roman soldiers, the Jewish leadership who made sure that Jesus was killed, the Roman governor, nothing happened to any of them. No lightning struck from heaven. They all carried on with their lives as they had before. But not for the disciples, the women and men who had been following Jesus. What was it like in those first hours right after Jesus died on that Friday night? Well, we can only guess. Too much, really, for any human mind to comprehend the things they had seen. But when they had done that and seen everything they had seen, they went back to whatever locked rooms, whatever places, wherever they felt they could be safe, and they had all kinds of time now to think. You tell me. What happens even today after a funeral is over and everybody goes home and it's now quiet? What are the thoughts you have, right? You can understand to a certain degree what those disciples were going through and what they were thinking. For the women, we don't know exactly what they were thinking, but we know what they did. Let's just call it what it is. Let's just call it love. Even though Jesus was already gone, there was nothing they could do to help him, they said, "Let's go finish what we couldn't do because of the Sabbath rest. Let's go anoint Jesus' body." And so with the first rays of dawn going, they were thinking, you know, how are we going to even get into that tomb? I don't think the Roman soldiers are going to help us. But then they thought, that's weird. And that's a little bit scary. The stone is already rolled away, and where are the Roman soldiers who were posted there? We saw them. They're lying there paralyzed? And then later they run? None of it makes any sense. And then the angel says to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him?" And trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. Who wouldn't? After seeing an angel, a messenger of the living God, you see, it didn't register yet. Not yet, but very soon it would begin to sink in that the day this day, its headline, if it was the news, would forever be vindication. Forever be victory for Jesus Christ. And there are going to be any number of times in our life where people do us wrong or do us some injustice. We all have many examples. But this is the only vindication that we ever must see happen. And the Holy Spirit made sure, through the Apostle Paul, to write in 1 Corinthians 15, if only for this life, we have hope in Christ. We are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. There is the truth. No matter how you feel today, because all your family showed up and you're elated, or none of your family showed up to celebrate Easter with you this year and you feel sad, no matter how you feel right now, that is the truth. In spite of what those women at the tomb saw or felt, the truth. They didn't quite get it, but they soon would. You see, they had seen something we didn't. They were eyewitnesses. The body of Jesus did not float or come off that cross with power. He did not ascend. They had to literally lower Jesus' body, his corpse, down from the cross. And maybe some of those women had helped. And they felt that that body was already cold. And then they carried it that little distance away to the tomb. And they knew Jesus, with what happened to him, he looked as guilty as sin. He cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" There was no answer. Not this time. Instead, just nothing. But then, when that angel appeared in that tomb, his word shattered the darkness in the hearts of those women. When he said, "He is not here, he has risen. Now go and tell the disciples and Peter." Why would the angel make sure to say "and Peter" and single him out? Well, because Peter had seared into his mind the memory of what he had done. After everything Jesus had showed him, he called him Cephas the Rock. He made him a special leader in the church. Not a pope, but a special leader. And he showed him all of his miraculous power and trained him to be a messenger of the truth. And after all of the love that Jesus had poured out on Peter, all it took was one look across the courtyard of Caiaphas, the high priest's house. All it took was one look. And Peter knew. And must have said to himself, "What have I done?" And now that Jesus was gone, he could do nothing. Do you see why the angel singled out, "Tell Peter what has happened"? The very same Peter who may not have been running as fast as the other apostle, but sure, as he got to that tomb of Jesus Christ, he went in there to verify, "Where is Jesus? What has happened?" Peter needed to hear this. And the fact that Peter was singled out, even though he had denied and cursed using God's name, saying he didn't know who Jesus was. Now, he would soon be forgiven and saved. Dear friends, if Peter can be saved, guess who else can be? This preacher. All of us sitting here today. Really, no matter what we have done, Pastor, you don't know the things I've done. And congregation, you don't know the things Pastor's done. Even those sins? Yes. Go tell the disciples and Peter and the angel, by the miracle that is the living word of God, can say, tell everybody sitting here at Timothy and tell the world. Forgiveness is real. And vindication. And that vindication finally began to click because of the Holy Spirit's power in the minds of those believers of Jesus. that vindication had come. And then in the weeks that followed Jesus' ascension, they began to remember those passages. Of course, what had Job been talking about? Job, the one who suffered so much in the Old Testament, what did he say? I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth, and yet in my flesh I will see God. Of course. And what did Jesus direct his apostle Paul to say? Let's go right back to 1 Corinthians 15. Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. This was always the plan. The resurrection of Jesus' soul and body, and therefore the resurrection of the soul and body of all those who follow him in faith. Jesus lives. So does his church, and so will his church. So yeah, in the meantime, we might be afflicted by temptations, trouble. We might be harassed by this world just because of our connection to Jesus Christ, but we are on a triumphal march to glory. And if that feels distant, well, think of what happened in our Allied troops during World War II in the Battle of the Bulge, when they were cut off from all the rest of the military, their supply lines cut, German forces around them on all sides. Did it feel like victory was soon coming? No, it felt like death for those U.S. troops freezing in the woods in the winter. But victory for the Allies would soon come, no matter what they felt. Dear friends, in a much more important way, we are on a triumphal march to glory. And along the way then, as we make this journey, our lives have been imbued with spiritual significance as we show this love of God to our family, as we show love right back to our God, and even as we show love to our enemies, as we testify to the one truth in this world. The march goes on, simple, humble, seemingly unimportant to the eyes of the world, almost imperceptible, but finally, the day will come when we sing that victory song with saints and angels in heaven. Sin is forgiven. Death has been killed. Jesus is Lord, and Christ and his people have been put on trial. We are, during our lives here. We and our God have been put on trial by the world, but Easter brings the verdict. Vindication for you, for me. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.
I sincerely pray that today's meditation on God's Word has enriched you. Didn't get enough of God's Word? Are you missing out on that in-person fellowship? We hold divine services right here in Bemidji, Minnesota at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Sunday school and adult Bible study is also offered between our Sunday services at 9:15 a.m. We also live stream our Sunday divine service at 8 a.m. You can ensure that you are notified when a stream is live or a new podcast is available by subscribing to our YouTube channel. It's easy to find by typing in St. Mark Bemidji in the search bar and clicking on the subscribe button. Want to listen to meditations the way I do every day? Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Go to podcastindex.org and search for St. Mark Bemidji to find us. This is our fifth year producing this podcast, and there is a large archive of devotional material online available if you want to learn more about God and His Word. Visit www.stmarksbemidji.org or look in the show notes in this podcast for a link to this and many other meditations on God. If you have any questions or you would like more information about our church and its ministry, please visit our website, which is once again www.stmarksbemidji.org. May God bless the rest of your day.